I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Jealousy has no place in a love relationship because jealousy is about fear, not love. But it continues to be a huge issue in many relationships, and I know this because you all keep asking me about it. So today, we'll discuss the many ways jealousy might be showing up in your relationship, the 8 things not to do if your partner is jealous, and the 3 ways to help move from jealousy to connection. So stay tuned. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it. Hey, I'm so glad you're here again. You know I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I am coming at you with yet another question that many, many people have asked about. So I've done episodes on jealousy before, and I will link to those in the show notes, what to do if you're jealous, what to do if your partner's jealous, but I keep getting asked. So I'm going to keep trying to give some new information and new ways to look at jealousy, as we grow together. Before we jump in, I need to give a disclaimer, and that is that if your partner's jealousy is tied to a serious mental health issue, and I mean a serious one, such as narcissistic personality disorder or another personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, and again, not diagnosed by you, like a true diagnosis. So we throw in that term, oh, he's a narcissist or she's a narcissist all the time, and it 90% of the times doesn't fit because a very, very small population has narcissistic personality disorder. It's really not as common as you think it is or borderline even. So I want to say that these tools aren't going to work if that's the case or if they have just maybe such a severe debilitating anxiety or depression. If your partner is violent and jealous in such a toxic way that you live in fear, then these tips aren't going to work. If you're in that level of a toxic or harmful relationship, I am going to urge you to get to therapy as soon as possible, to get to support, to call the hotline. I'll list to some hotline numbers on the show notes page if you feel like you're in danger. But if you're really not sure, I have episodes on narcissism, on gaslighting, and on borderline personality disorders. So I will link to all of those in the show notes or on the relationship tips and tools page, because in those episodes, I give specific education, tips, and strategies for those particular situations. Again, this episode is not for you if that's what it is. I'm not saying you can't listen and maybe glean something, but that's a whole other level, okay? I'm talking to, which is the vast majority of you who are in a relationship where there's jealousy, where your partner is jealous, but it's more of a normal variety, even if it's common. Okay. All right. So let's just say first, what is jealousy? What is jealousy? What are you talking about, Abby? Well, first and foremost, I always say jealousy has nothing to do with love. It is only about fear. Jealousy is a fear-based emotion. At its core, it's all about insecurity of the person who is jealous. It is never, read my lips, it is, or hear my voice. Jealousy is never about you and what you are doing. It is always about the other person and their thoughts and emotions about what you're doing or not doing. Okay? 100% of the time, your partner gets jealous because they perceive, you know, someone or something as a threat to your relationship. And this can include a lot of things that you might not have realized. So an obvious one is something like an old boyfriend or girlfriend contacting you. I know a lot of people are often jealous about, you know, if you've been married before or things like that. And that could be sneaking into the realm of retroactive jealousy. And I did a whole episode on that very recently. So again, I'll link to it, but you can search, you know, anywhere you listen to me. You don't have to go to the show notes page or the Relationship Tips and Tools page, which has the corresponding blog to every episode I do. You could always just search for the term and my name on the platform where you're hearing me or listening to me or watching me if you're on YouTube. And if you are on YouTube, please subscribe and like the video. Maybe give a comment at the end if you were digging what I was saying. If you're not digging what I was saying and are telling me that I'm not talking fast enough, you can just please move on and stop listening to me. That I would appreciate that. Okay. Only love here, only love on Abby's channel. So it could be something like that, right? That they're jealous about. But it could also be something like getting a promotion or having another type of win at work. I've seen this a lot. I have a client come to me and say, oh my God, I got this great promotion or I got a new job making more money. And their partner is making snide remarks about it or making little digs or doing things like that. That's jealousy showing up. Yeah, sit with that for a second. If they're saying anything except, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. You're amazing. You deserve this. If anything is coming out of anyone else's mouth, including a friend, your parent, I don't care who, they're jealous. And they're not jealous because they want that job. They're jealous because they think that you are going to be a better person. Like, you're so great now that you're not going to want them. I promise you that's what it is, that you're going to, you know, forget your mom and dad when you go off and start making a lot of money, that you're going to forget your good friend or not be able to hang out with me as much if you're, you know, traveling with your new job. This is what happens. Or they're thinking of their own lives and the fact that they're not, you know, trying new things or going for their dreams. And then they seem to get mad at you. I know you've been there. A lot of people have been in the situation. They don't realize that what they're dealing with is jealousy, that passive aggressiveness, the aggressiveness, the teasing, all of that is all from that person's insecurity. 100% of it. Okay. It could be something like sometimes partners are jealous. Your partner might be jealous if you're spending a lot of time with your friends or if you've been making new friends. You have new friends. I've seen partners get jealous because you've lost weight or you got clean and sober. You know, you stopped problematic drug or alcohol use. I've seen jealousy from partners when my clients have gotten fit or started going to the gym or got into, you know, some kind of sport. I know pickleball was big for a while. That doesn't involve them, right? Where that they're not doing, or just the fact that maybe they even go to the gym with you, but you're looking really different now. And again, people start to think this person's not going to want me anymore. Now that they're clean and sober, they could get anybody. So why would it be me? They're not thinking this consciously. I want to be very, very clear, but it is absolutely what's at the root of it. Maybe you're just spending a lot of time with your family. You know, you love your family. You've been spending a lot of time with them and your person is, very jealous of that. That's, again, all from this same place. Okay. I know. Another way they might be getting jealous is if you are learning something new or acquiring more education or skills. Another thing I see is if you have an active social media and you're on there and a lot of people are commenting or, you know, liking your videos, they'll get jealous about that. Now, and I'll talk about this a few times in here. If you're posting pictures, let's say, to get a certain kind of attention, you know, male or female attention, depending on what you like, if you're doing it for that reason, that's your insecurity. And I can see why your partner is starting to feel jealous. So everything I'm going to talk about today is assuming you are not trying to make your partner jealous. I want to be clear about that. So you really have to dig deep sometimes and understand, why am I posting pictures of myself this way? Why, like, truly, why are you? Because, you know, people are going to comment. I've posted pictures of myself in a, you know, I wear more form-fitting clothing. I do. And people, men included and women included, will say, oh my God, you look great. You look beautiful. You look hot, whatever. But when you look at my Instagram, I don't know, or my stuff, I don't put much personal stuff on there. I see it as a business thing. But when I do post the occasional picture, it's very nice. They're very complimentary. It's not anything. Gary doesn't care. It's very clear. I'm not on there looking for something in particular. I'm actually doing something that's uncomfortable for me, which is sharing my personal, like my true personal life. You know, I don't show pictures of my kid, or very rarely do I show pictures of my kids or things like that. I kind of, you know, I like to have a separate life from the kind of public life. But a lot of people do like that. And I'm not calling you out. Like, so if you've been posting pictures in very small shorts, you know, or your Speedo or your bikini, God bless you. Go for it. I'm saying, you know why you're posting it. And if it's creating a lot of problems, you have to think about it. That's all. Like, I would ask you to think about it. So I'm not saying you are insecure for sure if you're doing that. I'm saying that you need to think about, especially if it's causing this, if it's the only thing in your relationship that's causing problems, if it is the only place that your partner is like, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, I would say you should look at it, okay? But if there's a lot of places that jealousy shows up, if it's any time, you know, if every time Gary and I went out and I'm wearing a form-fitting dress or something, and he's like, I don't want you to wear that, or I don't like how men are looking at you, or I think you were flirting with him, you know, if he was doing any of that, that's a whole different thing, because I am not flirting with nobody and I dress for myself and for him sometimes, you know, but mostly for myself. And, you know, yeah, people can look sometimes or not look or whatever, but there's no issue about it. I only have eyes for him. He knows that. He only has eyes for me. It feels very good. It's all good. And there's no weirdness that pops up in our relationship, and he's not doing it all over. Does that make sense? You just have to think about the tone. If you're listening today, it's probably because there's a lot of jealousy happening, not one thing. So just keep it in mind. So again, not trying to body shame anyone or shame anyone for showing themselves. I think it's beautiful. I still wear a bikini at my age. I don't fucking care. Like, you like how I look, you don't like how I look. I'm not dressing for you. I like to get a tan tummy, and this is how I do it. I like being out there in the sun. And, you know, I a lot of people are going to think I don't look so good in a bikini at my age, but I don't really care. So, you know what I mean? Like, because I feel really comfortable in my body and I love my body, and that's great. So, but, you know, again, you got to think about, like, what is this? Is this about me, or is this about trying to attract attention? Is this about my man or woman that I'm with? Like, what is it about, or my person I'm with? What is it about? So you should always do a little introspection there. But again, if you feel the jealousy coming from a number of places, there's something else going on. Jealousy is a warning that something is amiss, something is wrong with you and your partner and the relationship. So never take it as a good thing, and certainly never try to stoke those jealousy flames. Then again, it's a sign of your insecurity, and you need to do some work looking at your own self, your self-esteem, your need for validation, whatever that is. You need to just take a look at that. Why are these things so important? That's all. Doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It doesn't mean you're a horrible person, because, you know, I never say that to you. You know, I would never say that to you. So anyone right now is listening who's feeling affronted or upset, you haven't listened to me much, or you're looking for me to be weird. And I'm never that way. I always love you. I always accept you as you are. And I call you to be the best version of yourself and to be very self-aware and mindful of what you're doing and why. That's all. So take a look. If you're upset, it's probably something you really need to look at. I will say that. All right. Why is your partner jealous? So why is your partner jealous? I get asked this a lot. And again, your partner isn't jealous because of anything you have or haven't done, even though they're blaming you for their jealousy, even though they're telling you that it's your fault. It's not. Jealousy is a choice in every situation and something they need to work on. It's not a behavior that you necessarily need to change. Again, unless you're noticing that there's something else going on for yourself, okay? You are never responsible for someone else's feelings or reactions. I'm going to repeat that. You are never responsible, I say with so much love, for someone else's feelings or reactions, okay? Because think about that. You could say the same thing to three different people and all of them could have different reactions to what you said. I will tell you this. If my best friend said, oh, you got a new haircut, or if Gary said, oh, you got a new haircut, or if my mother, when she was alive, had said, oh, you got a new haircut, I would take that three different ways. I'm not going to lie. With my mother, I would probably have been defensive because I assumed she was often like coming at me, poking at me. With my best friend, I would think, oh my God, she loves it and or whatever. I would have nothing about it because I would only think good things. And if Gary said it, I might think, oh, does he like it? Does he not? Uh-oh, you know, for a moment. So there you go. Same thing getting said, even the same way. Don't give me, well, they say it in a different tone. My mother would say things in very nice tones. And I know because I would be like, oh, I can't believe her. And Gary or a friend or someone would be like, she didn't say anything mean to you. Why are you getting upset? So that would happen. And you know, that's happened to you. You can out yourself right now. Don't be looking like it's me. We all do this crap. So, but do you see where I'm going here? And that's because people, your people, you feel the way you think. And your partner feels the way they think. So their thoughts about what you said are likely different, right? From how you meant it or, you know, and again, how different people take things. So different reactions, you know, and different feelings happen with the same thing being said or being done. And that's how you know it's about the person, okay? It's about the other person, not you. And you know, too, I know you've been there where you've listened to one of my podcasts and you're like, oh my gosh, I got this. I'm going to say this to my partner in the most beautiful way. I'm going to draw this boundary. It's going to be great. Hold on, I'm coughing. I'm taking a sip of chai, if you must know. Right? You've said it the perfect way. You've done everything the way you're supposed to. And the person still had a bad reaction or a reaction you didn't want. They still got angry or defensive or whatever. Yeah, because it's about them. You can say it with all the love in your heart, with everything aligned. It's all beautiful. And someone can still have a reaction. And that is, yeah, I know. It's not, doesn't seem fair, but that's the truth. So every person is responsible, including you, for their own feelings. If this is something you struggle with, I just want to throw this out there. Yeah, I'm going to plug my book. That's right, because I'm here to save your life. I'm here to enhance your life. And my last book, Boundaries Made Easy, Your Roadmap to Connection, Ease, and Joy, it lays it all out. All the stuff I'm talking about lays out all the strategies you need to start managing your own emotions. Because that's what it's about, because your reactions are your responsibility, so you can create a deeper, more soulful connection in all your relationships. I lay out how to, you know, when people have yucky reactions, when you've drawn a boundary and you've said the thing like, hey, your jealousy is about you, not me, and they freak out, I teach you the tools to hold that boundary, to hold yourself in that place. And trust me, you end up with, again, deeper, more soulful connections in all your relationships, but especially this one with your partner. Okay. There are four main traits found in the research of people who tend towards jealousy. Okay. So four main traits found in the research for people who tend towards jealousy. And your partner might have one of these or all of these. Number one is the one I've been talking about nonstop, which is insecurity and low self-esteem. Those are at the top of the heap in the research when it comes to characteristics of jealous people. Jealousy is about insecurity and thinking that you're inadequate and just not good enough for your partner, okay? Or your whoever's jealous. If it's your friend, you know, they think they're not adequate as a friend, or they're not enough, or you're going to go find a better friend. So they don't like it. Right? A jealous person doesn't like it when you're successful because they think you're going to leave them now. You know, you're doing better, so you're going to go. Or they're jealous of other people because, again, they think you'll leave them for someone better. Does that make sense? So like all of these things are really about that. Okay? I know. The second thing that's found from the research is a scarcity mindset. People get jealous and possessive because they think there isn't enough to go around. I speak a lot about this underlying competition for resources in relationships. I did a whole TEDx talk about it. You can go listen to that on YouTube, or my website has a, you know, my TEDx there. You really should listen to it anyway if you're interested at all in relationships. It's called The Real Reason Relationships Fail. Take 10 minutes, listen to the TED talk, and give it a like if you like it. I really talk about this, how we compete for resources in our relationships. We don't feel like a team, you know? We say things like, oh, you're going out with your friends? Great. I guess I'll just be stuck at home, you know, watching TV. Oh, you got a promotion? Super. Now you'll be away from home even more. I guess I'll be stuck at home taking care of the kids. Some people think love is a pie. And if you give pieces of that pie to others, they'll get less. And of course, we know the opposite is true. Of course, right? Love is abundant. Love grows and grows. The more you love, the more capacity you have to love even more. That is exactly what happens. Love is such an expandable, exponential, beautiful, synergistic thing. And we become skilled at it. And I will tell you right now, when my son was born, you think it, you're like, I can never love any other thing in this world the way I love this little human. And then if you have another baby, guess what you think? I could never love another. Like you realize that I don't love my son less because my daughter was born. The love just is bigger. I've just gotten so good at love. I've gotten so great at expanding it and loving Gary and, you know, loving my friends. Like it just, I love you. You know, it gets bigger and bigger, and it's so easy to feel. It's just right there and you can say it. It's wonderful. So having a scarcity mindset around that will lead towards jealousy. Okay. The third thing we see in the research of jealous people is emotional instability. Jealous people often show signs of emotional instability, you know, anxiety, hypervigilance, moodiness, and it can stem from an underlying mental health condition, right, or disorder, which we've talked about earlier. It could be a diagnosed one or an undiagnosed one. It could stem from unhealed childhood trauma. It can come from any of those things, but when those things are present, we see a lot of emotional dysregulation resulting in things like jealousy. And then the fourth thing we see from the research is an anxious attachment style. Your attachment style affects your relationships, all your relationships in some way. It affects it at work. It affects it personally, everywhere. And I have done deeper episodes on attachment styles, how it shows up at work, how it shows up in your personal relationships. So you can go do a deep dive on those. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here talking about the different attachment styles, but you should know your attachment style. You should do a little, you know, listen to mine, watch me again, or read it or whatever. You can go to the, again, relationship tips and tools page on my website in the key, you know, for search, type in attachment and it'll come right up. You can read it there if you don't feel like, you know, listening to the whole episode, whatever works for you. And people with an anxious attachment style or who have dependency issues are often jealous. We see that quite a bit. Okay? All right. Are we clear now what jealousy is, you know, why your partner might be jealous, where it comes from in the research, all those things. Now, I want to cover the 8 things you should not do if your partner is jealous. Got it? These are the 8 things, and I'm sure there's more, but these are my 8 things you shouldn't do, should not do if your partner is jealous. Because I'll tell you, it's easy to dismiss your partner's jealousy sometimes, but if you do, it's going to keep being an issue and will likely become a bigger and bigger problem. And you know, because that's probably why you're listening now, you've probably ignored it earlier, or maybe early in the relationship, you thought it was cute or you were flattered by it or something else, but it's probably showing up in all these competitive ways now, in other ways where they don't seem to be happy for your wins, where you feel like they're trying to hold you back somehow, where maybe you feel like, like they're not on your team somehow, right? Like they're always assuming the worst, anything like that. So before we get to what you should do, I want to really take this moment and talk about what you should avoid. Okay. I won't spend a lot of time on each of these, but I want to say it. So number one, if your partner is jealous, do not get defensive. I did a whole episode on how to listen without getting defensive or hurt. I want you to go listen to it if you haven't already. It's probably one of the most popular episodes I have. It is such a good one. I lay out, I think it's 5 steps I have to how to listen without getting defensive and hurt. Please, please. Okay. But you got it. I know you're thinking, oh, how can I not get defensive? They're attacking me. They're blaming me. You cannot. Again, because that's on you. What did I just say? Your responses, your reactions are your responsibility. So what I like to say to people all the time is this: you have a right to your feelings. You don't have a right to your behavior or actions from those feelings. I'm going to say it again. You have a right to your feelings. Okay. I'm not going to take that away from you, but you do not. I repeat, do not have a right to the actions or the behaviors you might take from those feelings. So I could get really pissed at you and angry because, you know, you called me something terrible. But if I punch you in the nose, I don't have a right to do that. I have a right to be angry. I'm allowed that feeling, but I do not have a right to hit you or punch you or anything else. See, that's the thing. People are like, well, I just yelled back. And I'm like, I don't care. It's all in the same category. You've got to get in charge of your own emotions. You're asking your partner to get in charge of theirs, and you're not in charge of yours. Hello? Hello? Mirror. Hold up the mirror. Yeah, look in there. That's you. So it's really important that I also did another episode on your emotional management, how to manage your emotions. It's called The Step-by-Step Guide to Managing Your Emotions. Go listen to that or read that. I've got a lot of great tips there for you and a lot of great actionable tools, but you got to do the work on these things. You got to go a little deeper. So don't get defensive. Number 2 is do not tell them that they shouldn't feel that way, because they're allowed to feel however they feel, right? Again, that is their right. They can feel however they feel. But that's it. They're not allowed to then say what you should or shouldn't do or what they're going to do, you know, whatever. The actions off of that are different. Number 3, do not tell them that they should trust you. Oh, you should trust me. It's not, you know, this isn't right. You should trust me. It's not going to go anywhere. Don't tell them it's their problem. It's not. Remember, everything in a couple, that's my TEDx talk, is a we thing, not a you or me thing. You're going to have to solve this together. I'm not saying that they don't have to, don't get me wrong. This isn't about you doing work on this, but this is about you supporting them, asking the questions, doing the right things. I'll get to that and what you should do. But that's what has to happen next for this to move forward. And if it's their problem and screw you and you dismiss them, it is not going to get taken care of. Okay. The 5th thing you shouldn't do is give them all the proof of you being trustworthy, right? Do not give them any proof of you being trustworthy. They should not have access to your phone. I am not a fan of this access to the phone thing. No, you should not be showing anyone your phone. Never. No, never. I said it. If your trust in your relationship, if the insecurity is that high, you are doing the wrong things looking at your phone. Like, you've missed the boat, people. You have missed the friggin' boat. This is not going to fix it. There's my phone. Now you can trust me. No, the trust was already broken down that they felt like they had to look at your phone. So showing them your phone isn't going to fix the problem. To me, it's like you have cancer and you have a fever from the cancer. So you take some Tylenol. Yeah. Okay. That'll bring down your fever maybe for that moment. But guess what? You still have cancer. So if you just think every time you get a fever, you just keep feeding Tylenol, you're going to be dead. The cancer is going to kill you because you never took care of the problem. So I know some of you right now are like, no, I have to see the phone. And maybe you've done it. Maybe you've been jealous and done it the other way. Stop that bullshit. It's bullshit. Stop BSing yourself. Stop BSing. If you are at this point that you are so done that you have to check a phone, I don't know that you should be in this relationship. I'm just going to say it out loud. You're not a victim. Cut it out. I'm doing some Jewish mother bossy crap right here because you need to get the real truth. I'm not going to treat you like you're an idiot because you're not. Anyone who listens to me is smart. They want to change. They are self-motivated in so many ways. I know because you guys talk to me all the time. I get your beautiful emails. I get your gorgeous comments and your DMs and everything else. You ask me questions from your heart because you trust me. I trust you too. So stop. Stop with that stuff. You are focused on the fever, not the cancer, and it's going to kill you. So stop doing it. The number six thing you should not do if your partner is jealous is diminish or minimize your successes. So that's what happens after a while. You stop sharing the good stuff because you got a big promotion at work. I have a couple right now I'm working with and they both work at the same place. And she's been getting some promotions or it's not even promotions, sorry, but she's been getting a lot of positive feedback for some project she's working on. She got like a little award and anyway, and whenever it gets brought up, she's like, oh yeah, I can't have that around my partner. He gets really jealous and upset. And so I don't talk about it. She got this award. She keeps it in her, she doesn't keep it in her office. She has it like hidden in a drawer. I'm not saying you should put it on the mantle at home, although if you want to do it. But, you know, this is screwed up. The last time I got an award, Gary was sitting in the front row, whooping and hollering and taking embarrassing photos. And that is the only thing your partner should ever be doing when you have a success or anything. When if I'm talking about how well the podcast is doing, oh my gosh, we're in 180 countries now, whatever. He is whooping and hollering for me. And that is all you deserve. It is the only thing you will put up with. And if your family doesn't do it or someone else doesn't do it, I want you out there. And I grew up at a time where you did not blow your own horn, they called it. Don't toot your own horn. I used to hear that a lot. I even grew up in a neighborhood where, you know, it was only seen as bragging and prideful to say that you were proud of something, which is so crazy. And I still struggle. I do. Sometimes I'll struggle, you know, with accepting the compliment, or I've gotten much better at it. I've really been working at it for many, many decades now. Or even telling someone else like, yeah, I got this podcast. It's really doing great. You know, I've gotten better at that. And I do it always jokingly here. You know, I'll be like, oh, my Amazon number one bestselling book, my first book, Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. I've started to find humor and I can't say it so straight because I do get a little embarrassed, but when I say it with a little humor, I can do it because it is important that I tell you about my books. It is important that I tell you that they've done well and to please leave a review if you've read it. Please go to Amazon and leave a review if you've read either of my books and liked it. But you know, because otherwise you won't know about this resource I have that you could buy or get. Or just in the same way that I tell you, oh, I already did a podcast episode on this, or, oh, you can get this free download. I do it everywhere. Some of the stuff you can buy, some of the stuff you can't. But when it comes to buying, right, we get a little like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to seem sleazy. It's like, what is the problem? Just say it. It's okay. Or you don't want to seem like you're tooting your horn. Why not? Good for you. Good job. I wish everybody did that in a non-aggrandizing way, in a non-ego way, and just a, wow, I'm really proud of myself. I worked really hard on this, and look what I did. I feel so good that I'm reaching people. You know, that kind of thing. There's nothing not to toot your horn about. So do not diminish or minimize your own success. The seventh thing Sounds like I'm lisping. You should not do if your partner is jealous is give in to jealous demands, such as like taking down your social media or wearing different clothing. I know it's going to sound like I'm contradicting what I said earlier, but because again, if you've done some soul searching, and again, because there's a lot of different things they're jealous about. It's the social media. It's who's following you. It's who's liking you. It's what you're wearing. It's also whenever you have a success. It's when you go out at night with your girlfriends or your boyfriends. Like, I guess boys don't have boyfriends. They have guy friends. Sorry. But you know, I hope you have boyfriends too. But you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it's more than one thing. As I said earlier, I just want to make sure you heard me pull that out. If that is the only thing that's ever come up, and I would even say if your partner says to you, yes, I'm insecure, this is something I'm struggling with, it's just I'm having a hard time. But again, I would hope that you had a different conversation with your partner about, you know, why they feel insecure or how it makes you feel when people like your videos, when you're in certain clothing or something. Like, I think that there's a way to have the conversation that doesn't have to be shaming, that can be connecting. So, you know, give a little try there. And the eighth thing you should never do when your partner is jealous is apologize for their jealousy. Do not apologize. What are you apologizing for? I don't even care if you know about social media and someone liking it or you interacted with someone. Don't apologize for, no, I'm sorry, you can't see my phone. No, you're not sorry about it. No, that's a boundary. You can't see my phone. It's so funny because no one's allowed to be in my phone because I have client information in my phone. And that's something that I am not supposed to let anybody have access to my phone. I even change the password on my phone probably once a month, once every 2 months, because I have to really make sure that stays locked, right? Because there's client information in there. So do you know what I mean? So for me, there's an easy out anyway, but if anyone ever asked, it's not the excuse I'd give. I'd just be like, no, it's my phone. You know, in the same vein, let me say, I've been on my phone in front of Gary and, you know, we've shared things or whatever. I'm not afraid to be on my phone, you know, watching something, maybe a TikTok or something with him. But it's not like I just hand him my phone and go, here, go look through it. And nor do I ask him. So, but don't apologize for their jealousy. I see a lot of people, I'm so sorry you got so upset about that. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to. I was talking to that person. I really wasn't trying. You know what I mean? And you're apologizing. It's not okay. Don't apologize. Don't apologize. I want you to have a conversation. I want you to be empathetic. I want there to be some empathy between the two of you. I want you to feel compassion and love, but you don't need to apologize for that. Okay. So now we're getting to it. Here are the three things you should do if your partner is jealous.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay. The three things you should do if your partner is jealous. So believe it or not, I'm going to say this, it might be controversial, but your partner's jealousy could bring you closer and create more intimacy in the relationship. And I will tell you, I have had this happen many, many times with the people I work with a couple I'm working with, or if I'm just working with one person and they go back and bring this back to the couple. It is amazing the breakthroughs you can have if you're willing to talk about it. The your partner's jealousy is really a bid on some level for closeness, okay? And I talk about bids in another episode. Bids are a term that was coined by John Gottman, and it's basically anytime your partner is making a bid, they're trying to get your attention. They're trying for a bid to be close to you. So, you know, if your partner says, "Oh my God, look at that bird," you know, they're just looking for something you can talk about, a way to be close, a way to connect. They're looking for a little connection. On some level, that's all it is, whatever it is. When I ask Gary to taste whatever I'm cooking, it's because I love cooking. I like to cook food for my people that I love. Everyone knows this who knows me. And I'm asking him to take, Gary could care less about food. Gary eats, he doesn't even care. He doesn't eat half the, like, he just doesn't care. But he cares about me and he sees it for what it is, that I'm asking him to be part of this thing I love. When we're out sometimes, we'll go to these really like foodie, beautiful restaurants. He literally won't even eat anything because he doesn't like whatever that kind of food is. But he comes with me and he hangs out and he'll, you know, have a drink or something, you know, and he'll just sit and we'll chat. Like, it's fine. But I'm making this bid like, oh, I really love, you know, sushi is probably my favorite food. He does not eat it, but he'll come or he'll find something on the menu he can eat. Like, it's a bid. I'm saying, oh, I really love this thing. And he's saying, oh, how can I be part of that? Right. And by the way, Gary and I do not have a perfect relationship. I realize I'm talking about him a lot today. I'm trying to just give examples and, you know, he's close to mind, but we're not perfect either. And jealousy came up some early in our relationship. And so we really did have to talk about it and what it was, him to me, not me to him, but, he was, I don't know, you know, I was younger and hotter then and more people looked at me and talked, and I would talk to people because I'm so friendly, and he really had some trouble and we had to talk about it and figure out what, you know, what to do. So I'm just saying, like, these conversations can come up. It doesn't mean you can't get past them. So to me, again, it can be a bid for closeness. There's something missing in the relationship. So what is it? You know, finding out the real answer, the cancer, what's the real cancer? Finding out the real answer to that question really can create something new and exciting for both of you. So I see this as an opportunity. If you're not defensive, if you don't do the don'ts, you can really use this as an opportunity to create a whole other level of your relationship. So what do you do? Number one, you have to get centered yourself in the love. Okay, that's number one. Get centered, get yourself centered in the love. When your partner's acting jealous, they're telling you they're afraid. I know it's hard to see that if they're attacking you or acting angry, but the anger is masking their fear. You know, I always love to quote author Celeste Ng, who said, anger is the bodyguard of fear. Oh, I so wish I had written that and said that. I so wish that was my quote because I think it's so brilliant. It's probably one of my favorite of all time. Anger is the bodyguard of fear. They're afraid, again, that they're going to lose you. They're afraid that they're not good enough. They're afraid they're inadequate. They're afraid of loss of some kind. They have low self-esteem. I know it can look the opposite. They might be using it like, well, you know, you're lucky to have someone like me and I can't believe you're doing this. It's all bullshit. That is all cover. Do not bite. That is not it. Okay? It's them covering their fear and insecurity. So this means you got to hold on to your love. You've got to hold on to the love before speaking to your partner. You have to get yourself centered, set an intention to be loving and kind, spend a few minutes breathing and getting yourself into a relaxed state. I have a short video that you can watch on YouTube called The 18-Second Shift, where I tell you how to set intention, how to do that. It literally takes 18 seconds. Again, listen to that episode on how to listen without getting defensive and hurt. If you've already listened to it, go back, refresh. Do not go into the conversation. I hear people, they're like, oh, I'm ready for battle. Oh, no. No. It's going to be a battle then. That is the worst way to go in, to gird your loins, you know, worst way to go into a conversation. Or to go into the conversation already knowing, oh, here's everything I'm going to say, like kind of memorizing it. because you're not there. You're not open. You don't have a loving attitude. You know, you got to go in with those things. You have to go in ready to listen. How would you react to a child or a good friend who is afraid of something? Would you shame them? Would you get defensive or yell back at them, even if they were yelling at you? I hope not. You know, keeping this in your head can help you not get dragged into their fear. You have to stand firmly in the love. So you got to get yourself into that place first. That's number one. Number two is you're going to need to be curious. I recently did a whole episode of the podcast on how being curious will improve all your relationships. And I spoke about how to do it. So if you want to go deeper on how to be curious, you know, check out that episode. But for now, I'm just going to repeat a couple of important points that apply here. There are two main things to focus on when you're having a loving, mindful conversation about your partner's jealousy. Number one is make it your intention to listen like you're trying to learn something, not prove something. Again, I know this is hard because you didn't do anything wrong. So it feels like you just have to defend. But if you can go in trying to learn, again, why is my partner jealous? Like, again, not why is my partner jealous? Sorry. What is underneath my partner's jealousy? What are they really afraid of? What are they really trying to say to me? What, that's a top emotion. What's under it? Anger, jealousy, rage, helpless, hopeless, resentment, frustration. Those are all top emotions. What's under, if I get under that, what is this person really afraid of? So if you go in trying to listen like you're trying to learn something, not prove something, first of all, they're going to feel heard, which is what we want. And second of all, you're going to feel like you can actually have that conversation because you know this one on top hasn't been working. Again, you keep using the Tylenol, you keep trying to take care of the headache, and you got to get to the cancer, okay? You can tell I'm really loving that little metaphor, can't you? Keep coming back to it, but it's a good one here. The second thing is to ask collaborative questions so you can get into the conversation and really understand where their jealousy is coming from. I have a list of collaborative questions that you are welcome to download. These collaborative questions are basically open-ended questions that can't be answered with yes, no, good, or fine. You know, could you tell me more about that? Tell me more about what happened, you know, where that was for you. Can you tell me how you were feeling when that happened? You know, what's one thing that you could do in those situations that might make you feel different or think differently, whatever. There's a bunch of collaborative questions you can ask. And so if you're not sure where to start, come download that, abbymedcalf.com. Go to the relationship tips and tools page for this episode, or go to the show notes page. And I think in YouTube also, you should be able to download this under the video. So anywhere you are, you should be able to download the collaborative questions. You will be asked for your email. And to be completely transparent, this will put you on my weekly love letter list. And my love letter does go out once a week. And people love that love letter. It is a love letter. I'm not selling you anything. I don't bombard your box with 20 emails. It's once a week. It's meant to inspire you. It's a little story, a little something to help you. If you like the podcast, you'll love the love letter, I guess is what I'm telling you. You might feel like I already have so much to read every week or whatever. I don't get anything for it. So it's really out of love. So there's no ads on it. You know, there's nothing. There's nothing. A couple times a year when I have a new book or something, I might announce it on there, but it's not like I put out new stuff all the time. You know, it's just love. It's just to help inspire you. If you'd like to feel a little more inspired during the week, do it. If not, guess what? You can unsubscribe. There's thousands and thousands of people on there. I won't notice if you do. It's okay. You won't get a black mark on your record. So you can still download the collaborative questions and you can take yourself off the list if you don't like the next newsletter that comes. Okay. So the goal is for the conversation to work its way to why they're feeling what they're feeling. That's the goal. And you want the real reason, which would be, here you go, ready? This is all the money of the podcast right now. The real reason they're jealous, that's what you're trying to get towards, which would be something about them, not something about you. That's how you know. If they keep coming back to something you need to change or do differently, You need to deepen the conversation. That's not it. It shouldn't be about you. It should be about them. I know, right? Think about that. Let that sink in for just a moment. That is how you know you're having the conversation you need to be having to get to their vulnerability, to get to their pain and anguish. This is not, if you're coming back to you, there is a very big problem in how this conversation is going. If it keeps coming back to something you need to do or to change, then you're not doing it right. The reason they're jealous when you get to the end of the road should be something about them, not something about you. Have I said that enough? I want to really get this point in because this is how you know you're doing it. Okay. And within this curiosity, I'm going to say that there, you know, you're being curious, right? So you should have some self-reflection there. Is there any chance you're doing anything to make your partner jealous or to try to do that? Is anything here about your own insecurities and something you need to address yourself? That's part of this whole, I will tell you, this has happened where I've sent someone into the conversation. You know, their partner's very jealous. And I had this happen the other way, the man with another man, his husband. His husband was very jealous of him and a lot of these things, long story, but they did this. They had the conversation. They did the thing. And my client said his husband, who's, you know, suddenly went he said both of them in the conversation had aha moments. It wasn't just the jealous one, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It wasn't just the one who was jealous. They both were like, oh, they both saw places that they were, sort of off and insecure and not doing healthy things. So, you know, I want any examination though, where you're self-reflecting or reflecting with your partner, it again should be from a loving place. So just keep that in mind. Number three is to identify, and hopefully you'll get there because you've been curious and asked these great questions. What else are they feeling? That's number three. So again, jealousy is a fear-based emotion. It's not about love. It's about fear of losing something. So again, it might be fear of losing you, fear of losing their share of something because they're keeping score. Like, so, you know, their money in the relationship, like you're taking advantage, you know, you're spending more money than they are or spending more time away than they are, right? Again, losing their share, that competition thing I keep talking about. Does your promotion at work mean they'll see you less or have more chores around the house because you won't be around as much? You know, again, where is it? So, or maybe they're worried that your promotion means you'll see that you really are better than them and will outgrow them and move on to greener pastures. I'm telling you, people go all the way there, no matter how in love, no matter how great it's going. Again, it's all about the fear. And if you don't address the fear with compassion, with patience, you're gonna keep having the problem. The other thing I notice is that the jealous person is often worried about losing control. This is a bigger issue. Are they trying to control you? Possessiveness, again, not a sign of love. It's a warning. You can't have a love relationship based on fear ever. So the job here is to find out what they're thinking and feeling underneath their top answer of jealousy or frustration or, you know, resentment. Keep asking those collaborative questions and being curious as you help them and yourself dig a little deeper into what they're really afraid of. It's only from that place that you really find those the really good solutions, the healthy solutions. Do not defend yourself or focus on the content necessarily of what they're saying. What you want to do is keep coming back to feelings, right? We don't connect with thoughts. We connect with feelings. Otherwise, you just end up in this, you know, they said, you said argument, and you'll go around in circles. Nobody is satisfied. There's an escalating problem that doesn't go away, and it gets really messy. Am I done? Yeah, I think that's everything. I'm always like, did I want to say something else? No, I think that's every point I need to make. Woo! I do feel like I lectured you a little today, so forgive me. I don't want to lecture you. I want to, I you know how I get. I just get very, I picture you. This is what I'm doing when I'm doing the podcast. I'm picturing you. I do. I have a picture of you. And I'm talking to you. And I'm like, you know, getting just, and I'm picturing you not getting it somehow, or getting, you know, being like, well, that's not me, or that doesn't apply, Abby, or you're crazy, Abby. And I get like, no, you have to listen. So, and I'm, you know, I think everyone knows that in every episode I do, it's impossible for me to be perfect. It's impossible for me to say everything exactly right or the exact way you need to hear it. So all I can ask you to do is always know I'm coming from a loving, open heart, because I am. And I'm doing it because, yeah, I want to control the world because I'm a control freak. Okay, got you. And I'm trying to control for good, not evil. I'm trying to control in a way where people live happy lives, where they don't take on other people's feelings or actions, where they don't allow themselves in abusive relationships or in relationships that are really unhealthy or in sick cycles. I really want you to stand up for yourself. Again, please get the Boundaries Made Easy book if you're having trouble with that. You can also search the term boundaries on my website and you'll get tons of free resources. I am happy to give it away if you feel like you don't have the money. That's not a problem for me. But please, please really look into creating those boundaries that are healthy and that work. And they're always from love. Boundaries are always from love. And creating a relationship, co-creating a relationship that feels really good to you, because that's what you deserve. You totally deserve it. And it's so possible. It is so within your reach. All right. Ugh. I love you so much. Thank you for spending all this time with me. You know it means so, so much to me. And I will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you, and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything. You can email me at abby@abbymedcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymedcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.